In our last study, we talked about the church that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 16 and verse 18. It's that great company of people made up of those who are saved. They're loved by Christ and highly esteemed in the scriptures. Most professing Christians are going to agree with what was described in that study, that the church universal is the body of Christ, and it's made up of the saved. They're going to agree that the local church refers to saved people in a geographical area who work and worship together as a local congregation. And yet many today see no harm in presenting an altered picture of the church to the world. A picture in which local churches are divided into various denominations. We're not simply Christians anymore, but instead we are Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, and the list goes on. And that's what the world is seeing when they think of Christianity. I'm persuaded that thought is wrong. And I firmly believe in non-denominational Christianity. And what is that? And you're going to ask the question, what do you mean, Jeff? And why is denominationalism wrong? First, let's define some terminology. What is a denomination? And if you've been listening to me, you've heard me give these definitions before. According to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, a denomination is a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. According to Webster's, a denomination is a religious organization uniting in a single legal and administrative body a number of local congregations. So to put it simply, a denomination is a group of congregations joined together under some governing body. The number of congregations can be as few as two or as many as they want it to be. The governing body might be a synod, a presbytery, a convention, another church, or even an individual. And through their tie to that governing body, which they promote above the local congregation, by definition, they are denominated from all other congregations that do not submit to the same authority that they do. For example, here are some examples that we see in our world around us today. The Roman Catholic Church is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Pope in Rome, an individual. The Eastern Orthodox Church is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Patriarch of Constantinople. The Anglican Church of England is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Archbishop of Canterbury. And the Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod, is made up of those churches that submit to the Synod in Missouri. And these are just a few of the thousands of different denominations that exist, at least in our country. So what is denominationalism? Again, we go back to the American Heritage Dictionary, and it says that it is the tendency to separate into religious denominations. It is the advocacy of separation into religious denominations. And it is the strict adherence to a denomination, sectarianism. They have divided into different and various sects, S-E-C-T, sectarianism. Again, Webster's defines it as devotion to denominational principles or practices. And Webster goes on to say that it is narrow emphasizing of denominational differences. Again, this is sectarianism. For the purpose of this study, I also want to apply this term to any approval of the denominational division that exists today. I understand that many people in denominations today are not all that devoted to their denominational principles or practices. But by being a member in a particular denomination, they are, by implication, advocating for separation into religious denominations. Well, somebody's going to ask the question, is denominationalism really that bad? I want to suggest to you that we cannot serve Jesus faithfully while participating in religious division, and that's what denominationalism is. So yes, denominationalism really is that bad. Here's why I believe denominationalism is wrong. First of all, it's unscriptural. That is, we cannot go to the Bible and find scriptural support for denominations. There's no basis in God's word for local churches being divided up into various denominational bodies. There's no denomination that can go to God's word and say, see that passage? That is our church, referring to their particular denomination. In the New Testament, local congregations were independent. They were self-governing. And church organization was limited to within that local congregation with elders, also known as pastors, bishops, overseers, and presbyters. And they were appointed to oversee only that congregation of which they were members. We see that taught in principle in Acts 20, verse 17, verse 28, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2. And the only authority above the local church was Christ and his apostles. Now, once the church began, the apostles were not replaced after they died. But the Word of God, and through the Word of God, the authority of Christ and his apostles continues today. Now, individuals, synods, conferences, the list goes on, that presume to usurp authority over local congregations today do so without any authority from Jesus, without any authority from God. So not only is it unscriptural, it is also anti-scriptural. Not only is it without scriptural support, in which it is contrary to what the Bible teaches, it is contrary to the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, verses 20 through 23, when he prayed for unity among his believers. And it was condemned by Paul when he wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth. He talked in verses 10 through 13 of chapter 1 of that first letter that there be no divisions among believers. And sectarianism is a sign of worldliness, carnality. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4. And also, excuse me, it's anti-scriptural because it opposes the efforts of Christ while he hung upon the cross. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16. You see, Jesus died to break down the wall of division. There should be no divisions among any who believe Jesus. And he died to reconcile man to God in one body. So if we are reconciled unto God into one body, why are there so many different religious beliefs? Now, just as sinning works against the efforts of Christ on the cross, he also died to put away sin. So it is with denominational division. Now, thirdly, it's unscriptural because it's harmful to the cause of Christ. Jesus knew that unity among his disciples would be the final apologetic, according to Schaeffer in his commentary. John 17, verse 21, Jesus said that the world may believe. That's when he prayed for unity. In view of the words of Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised when unbelievers are slow to accept the gospel coming from a divided church. And a lot of people will point out to the divided condition of those professing to follow Christ. Atheists and agnostics often use religious division and as an excuse not to believe in God. And non-Christian religions like Islam and Judaism often use denominationalism as a reason not to believe in Christ. You see, denominationalism has also given support and encouragement to the rise of cults. Mormonism started as a reaction to the denominationalism in the days of Joseph Smith. Jehovah's Witnesses use religious division to encourage people to follow their strictly controlled organization, a denomination within itself. And there are others who view denominationalism as wrong. We've mentioned these people before, and you know them well. Martin Luther, the lead of the Reformation movement, said, "I ask that men make no reference to my name and call themselves not Lutherans, but Christians." He says, "What is Luther? My doctrine, I am sure, is not mine, nor have I been crucified for anyone." St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 would not allow Christians to call themselves Pauline or Petrine, but Christian. He goes on to say, "How then should I, poor, foul carcass that I am, come to have men give to the children of Christ a name derived from my worthless name?" No, no, dear friends. Let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after him whose doctrine we have. John Wesley, another Reformation leader, among whose followers are call themselves Methodist or Wesleyans, he states, "Would to God that all party names and unscriptural phrases and forms which have divided the Christian world were forgotten, and that the very name Methodist might never be mentioned more, but be buried into eternal oblivion." Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest Baptist preachers that ever lived, states, I look forward with pleasure to the day when there will be not a Baptist living. I hope that the Baptist name will soon perish, but let Christ's name last forever." Again, denominationalism is wrong. It's wrong because it's unscriptural, anti-scriptural, and it's harmful to the cause of Christ. And that's why I and many others profess undenominational or non-denominational Christianity. Throwing aside all the bindings of denominationalism, things that shackle us from preaching the truth of God's Word, and following Jesus in the freedom of the gospel, the liberty that comes from being simply Christians. And what may surprise some is that doing so while being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, Philippians 2 and verse 2. There ought to be a strong desire to follow Jesus and his prayer for unity from John 17, verses 20 and 23. An understanding of the carnal nature of division and why denominationalism is wrong is what Paul was writing about in 1 Corinthians 3. Now let me ask you, if you believe in Jesus and his church, then why not simply be a Christian, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting away any hint, any thought, any idea of denominationalism? Find a local church that is determined to be nothing more than a gathering of disciples of Christ. We read about the churches of Christ in Romans 16 and verse 16. Now, I understand this is going to upset some of you that are listening, and feel free to contact me if you'd like to discuss this more. But as I've said in times past, bring your Bible and show me from God's Word where I am wrong and you feel that you are right. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com and listen to it there. It'll be under sermons. And while you're there, you can follow us on our live stream this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible class, 10 a.m. for worship, and again, 5 p.m. for evening worship. If you'd like to join us, we would welcome you with open arms. The doors will be open. We'll greet you with kindness and love. And if, again, like I say, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me.